Welcome to AAN Podcast.
Today we are in conversation with one of the co-founders of AAN, Martina Van Berlet, on the new probe into the Kabul Bank scandal.
Can you give us some background and tell us how did the Afghan authorities initially dealt with the scandal?
Yeah, well, the Kabul Bank case has been quite extensively reported. So we all know that what happened is that the bank management basically used the bank as a source of money for their investments and for gifts that they gave and for their lifestyles. And so about a total of up to almost $1 billion was given out in irregular loans. And if you count also the interest. And it was given, I mean, basically 90% of the bank's portfolio was given in irregular loans to 19 people or companies. So it was quite extreme. It was quite an extreme case. The story broke in 2010, and it was broke. It was reported by the New York Times, and it led to a run on the bank and a crisis in the banking sector, and possibly in the whole economic sector of Afghanistan. So the authorities were forced to react. But what we've seen at that time and ever since is that the main tendency, the main response of the authorities has been one to downplay the crisis and to basically they were behaving as if it was being exaggerated. So when the story broke, that the Kabul Bank was having big problems, a lot of the people went to get out their money from the bank, and so it threatened the stability of the banking sector. And the Afghan authorities were forced to act, and they took over the bank. But in general, in how they dealt with the scandal and how they dealt with the aftermath, it was very strongly a case of downplaying the problem, of initially not admitting how large the problem was, how serious it was, and also not admitting that there had been serious issues and serious crimes that needed to be dealt with. And it was only because of sustained donor pressure and sustained external pressure that the authorities in the end did act. And they acted under protest in many cases, and basically grumbling that, you know, the donors were making a huge issue out of something that wasn't that large.
Given the new government has opened this new probe into the scandal within the very initial phase of its administration, would you believe the president will achieve out of this?
Well, one of the things he wants to do is to show that there's a clean break with the previous administration. One of the big criticisms of the previous administration, and in general, you know, of how government works in Afghanistan, has been the corruption and the failure in governance. And it's something that everybody complains about. It was a big issue in the presidential campaign, and so he understands very well that that's an important issue to show movement on. It is one of the cases that he can actually do something by giving an order. He orders the government institutions to deal with the case the way they should have dealt with it, and to review it again. So what he wants to achieve is a symbolic message, a clear message. It's not going to be business as usual. The big question is whether something will really change.
Going back to what you said in the end about will something really change, do you think the judiciary will deal with the case differently this time?
Well, the tendency of the judiciary has been to blame the Kabul Bank management. The Kabul Bank management designed this very elaborate scheme in which they gave out irregular loans, and they covered that up with fake documentation, and it was quite complex. And they had to actually go through a lot of trouble to bypass the bank's internal regulatory systems. But the so the tendency of the bank has been to go after them, to blame them. The tendency of the judiciary. And they were convicted with lenient sentences, but they were convicted. And the judiciary has gone after the regulators, the central bank, responsible people at the central bank. The tendency has been to not go after the shareholders and basically say the shareholders shouldn't have taken large loans from the bank, but if they pay them back, we're fine. And that has been quite controversial, particularly because two of the shareholders were related to power. We had the brother of the then president, and we had the brother of the then vice president. So that was also attracting a lot of attention in the reporting and when people talked about it. It also slightly distracted from the real issue, because often the problem was being simplified, as if it was about very close family relations. But that has been the tendency of the judiciary so far. And there hasn't been a clear change from that. So far, what we've seen is that the judiciary has continued on that path.
What impact do you think will it have on Afghan political environment and how people see power and protection to work in Afghanistan in general?
It's really early to say, because we have to see how it plays out. What we do see now in the early days of the Ghani administration is that there is a hope and a sense that things might change, and that you have to be careful. And that if you are openly corrupt, or if you are grossly corrupt, you could get in trouble over that. It really depends now on how we go further, you know, how it goes as we go further, whether things will really change. So far in the past, the case was you could get in trouble for being corrupt, but that would never be the reason. You know, nobody would get in trouble only for being corrupt. If you did get in trouble, it was usually because there was a shift in power relations or a shift in protection. And we need to see whether that will continue. So whether the anti-corruption drive basically is a new phase of who is protected and who is not, or whether it really changes the way government works and regulation works. I think it's a bit early to be optimistic. It is very refreshing to have a government that is, or people in government that are, openly saying corruption is a problem, that there is this atmosphere of, something will be done. But I think it's early to be optimistic about what the actual impact will be. We'll probably see some improvements, but the networks and the interdependence is great, and I'm afraid we'll still see a lot of the patronage and the protection networks persist.
Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon with the next edition of AAN Podcast.